wonderful friends, welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to BQ&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. This is the show where we respond to or deal with religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. And that's always our promise to you, dear friends. Hope you're all doing great today. This is Pastor Ricardo, your Drive Time host, and also the pastor of Elizabeth Seventh-day Adventist Church, coming to you live from this beautiful city, a bit cold these days, of Adelaide. We're delighted that you're tuning in today, and as we normally do, we pray that you'll be blessed and that you'll find the next hour insightful, and as we always say at Faith FM, positively different. Now, the theme for this week has been, aren't all religions essentially the same? And I think that's a very, very common question that people ask. What's the difference? What difference does it make which religion I choose, which church I go to? So I'm sure that you'll be blessed by these presentations, these programs. Now, yesterday we learned that not all Christian denominations are the same. In fact, there are actually some differences that have the potential to endanger your salvation. Now, dear friends, if you've missed any of these topics, please visit faithfm.com.au. Go to Programs and Podcasts, and then go to Drive Time BQ&A. And please have a look at the different topics and see what the Bible has to say. Always base your faith on the Bible, the Word of God. Of course, you can text us if you needed any help. Our number is 0488-808-11. I would suggest that you save that number on your phone because you can use it to text us at any time or send us your feedback during or outside these programs' hours. Now, today, the big question that we'll be dealing with is, what is the purpose of doctrinal teaching? Again, a very common question. Why do I need to know doctrine? Is it important? Can I simply say I love Jesus and that's it? Well, today the question is, what is the purpose of doctrinal teaching? And this evening I have Lindy Sperring joining me here in the studio. And Lindy is our prayer and women's ministries coordinator for South Australia. And she will be guiding us through our study today. Welcome, Lindy. It's good to see you again.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here.
How is your day going?
It's been a bit of a tough day. You know how computers can drive you crazy, but we're getting there. I've a few people might notice my voice is just a little bit croaky. Uh-huh. So I did come down with a bit of laryngitis, which I think my husband quite liked because I was quieter. But no, we're here tonight and really looking forward to this very interesting topic.
It is indeed. I heard you've been dealing with computer problems and
yes, I can tell you. It's been a busy last few weeks. We had our women's retreat, then we headed back to Melbourne and went to see my parents. I'll just give them a cheerio, Robert and Rhonda.
Nice.
Back in Melbourne, and we had a lovely time with all the family. So, and then we've been busy doing some renovations and also doing some work in the office. So it's been a busy time.
Wow.
But God is good. He's amazing. He watches over us. He protects us. He heals us when we're not well. When we ask him to heal us, or he gives us ways to become well. And, you know, he's a great God. And I know some people have different experiences, and I'm not belittling that at all, but we do serve a great God.
We certainly do. And even when we have to deal with computer issues, you know, God is there. Like, you know, I love technology. I just don't like to rely on it.
I know.
Because you never know.
Well, I had one that crashed, didn't want to work at all, and the other one that wouldn't print. So it was a bit of a funny day.
Yes. Especially when that happens when you're on air. You know, dear
friends, God
is good. We can tell you that. He's always with us and with you to help us when we need.
And we pray for our equipment, don't we, that it'll stay steady and people can hear us? Because that's why we're here, to share the gospel.
Amen. I also want to say hi to Simon. Simon, if you're listening to this program, it was lovely to catch up the other day and deliver you to you some of our giveaways. I hope you enjoy this program. Now, I have an article to share with you, dear friends. It's an article from the BBC News, the 12th of June 2025, and I'm sure that you've heard about these news. It's about a British man who was the only passenger surviving an India plane crash. But I thought there's something that we can take from this story that goes very well with the topic for today. The article goes like this. A British man has walked away from the wreckage of the Air India crash that killed 241 people in an extraordinary tale of survival. Imagine being the only survivor out of 241 passengers. Now, I'm going to have a bit of a trouble pronouncing these names, but it says Vishwas Kumar Ramesh, hope I pronounced it well, was in seat 11A on the London-bound Boeing 787 flight when it crashed shortly after takeoff in Ahmedabad, Western India. Mr. Ramesh's brother, Nayan Kumar Ramesh, told BBC News, Vishwas Kumar has no idea how he survived and escaped the plane as the only survivor. Air India said all other passengers and crew were killed, including 169 Indian nationals and 52 Britons. A relative called Jay told the PA news agency he's got some injuries on his face. He was painted in blood. He's doing well, I think. It's a big shock. Video shared on social media showed Mr. Ramesh walking towards an ambulance with smoke billowing in the background. He was later seen in a hospital bed meeting Indian Interior Minister Amit Shah. Dr. Deval Gameti, who treated Mr. Ramesh, said he was disorientated with multiple injuries all over his body, but he seems to be out of danger. This is unbelievable. Out of 241 passengers, the only survivor. Indian media said he shared his boarding pass, which showed his name and seat number. The businessman, who was born in India and has lived in the UK since 2003, has a wife and 4-year-old son. Amara Tahu, the granddaughter of a couple from Blackburn who were on board the flight, said she was in shock and disbelief. And she's just one of the many, many examples of relatives who were in shock and disbelief, thinking terrible. If their, you know, father, mother, brother, friend had survived or not. They didn't know. They just heard about the plane crash. Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer said his thoughts were with the families who were going to be absolutely devastated by this awful news, while his Indian counterpart, Narendra Modi, said it was heartbreaking beyond words. London Gatwick Airport confirmed that a reception center for relatives of passengers was being set up where information would be provided and that it was liaising closely with Air India. It said on X, British nationals who require consular assistance or have concerns about friends or family should call a number that they provided here. Now, Lindy, when I try to imagine the relatives as they received the news that the plane had crashed, you know, normally no one survives, but who knows, right? And you're wondering, if you were one of the relatives, you would be wondering, did my husband make it? Or did my son make it? You know, you're just wondering.
And very then disturbing, very it, disturbing.
It's just, you know, it's like your life is on hold for a few hours. You don't know what happened.
That's right.
On top of all, they say there was only one survivor.
It's hard to understand one survivor, and you'd be waiting for that news, wouldn't you?
And I can almost imagine a lot of the relatives saying, "I hope that's my relative,
of course,
the one who made it." You know, there's only one, and you wonder, is it my beloved one or not?
That's right.
But I mean, it's impressive. You know, only one survivor out of 241 people. But unfortunately, the truth is that there was only one survivor. You can't change the truth. That's what I wanted to get at. You cannot change the truth. The truth is only one. You know, in maths, we say 2 plus 2 is 4. That's the truth. There's only one truth. Now, some people may come and say, no, 2 plus 2 is 3, or 2 plus 2 is 5, or 7.
But it's not.
You can't.
It's not true.
Yes, you cannot create your own truth. There's only one truth. You're either right or wrong. And the same thing applies to Bible doctrine, Bible teachings. There's only one truth. Even though we may like it or not, just because we don't like what the Bible says, we cannot come up with our own truth and pretend that that will be okay with God. There is only one truth. And this is why the topic, today's topic, is very important. What is the purpose of doctrinal teaching?
It helps us to understand, too, that religions are different. Different religions hold different mm-hmm. beliefs. There are some similar beliefs yes. amongst us, but there are many different interpretations of the word where mm-hmm. I believe, and this is what I believe, that the word of God is like a tapestry. And as it becomes clear, it becomes a beautiful picture. You can't just pull out a scripture and just say, oh, well, this is what I'm going to believe. You yes. need to read it all and understand it all. Very important.
Yes. Now, I want to share with our listeners what the Bible says about itself, about the truth. In Galatians 1:6-9, we have an interesting comment by the Apostle Paul. He had been teaching to the Galatians the sound doctrine coming from Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he says. Verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. See, he did not consider anything different from the truth, like another truth. No, it is not even another gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is one.
Yes, and I think when he's talking about an angel from heaven, it wouldn't be one of God's angels. But he's using that as an expression. He's making it the point very strongly
yes.
that there is a truth in the Bible about the salvation, about Jesus, and you don't need to wander away from that.
That's right. We cannot twist the Bible according to our preferences.
A lot of people want to.
Yes.
They want it their way, and this is what I believe, for convenience. They don't have to feel under any sort of conviction or being reproved. So, yes, mm-hmm. the easy way out.
Exactly. And the Apostle Paul was very strong on this point.
Mm-hmm.
He said to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And then it says down in verse 5, he says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One faith, not two faiths or two truths.
That's right.
Only one. And then down the track in 1 Timothy 4 again, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, the same Apostle Paul says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, which he said previously that it was one faith. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons.
Hmm.
Doctrines of demons. So knowing Bible doctrine is important indeed.
Absolutely.
There is only one faith.
I think a lot of people think about doctrine and they just look at it as dry sort of teaching and intense. And look, you don't want to listen to a sermon that is really, really deep and intense, and you're not really receiving the blessing or an understanding. You know, a little bit of the doctrine with something else is probably more balanced. You don't want to overpower people, because it takes a while to learn some of these things. It's a spiritual learning, a supernatural learning from understanding the Bible. That's what I believe.
Yes. Doctrine is just as important as loving God. I imagine, for example, if I were in my last days, on my deathbed, you know, and I call my children to come next to me, and I want to tell them the most important things that I can think of, I would feel really sad if they would say something to me like, "Oh, Dad, don't worry about your advice, your teachings. Just be happy that we love you." But I'm not going to see them again until the second coming, hopefully.
You want to share some wisdom with them, some for their counsel, own good. For their own good, for their betterment. And sometimes we push that away, don't we?
Yes.
We can.
We do that with Christ. He has his teachings in the Bible. They are for our own good, for our salvation. But so many Christians are saying to Jesus, "I just want to bear your name, to have your name. I love you, Jesus, but don't come to me with your doctrines."
And yet they are a part of him.
You cannot separate.
They're part of his character and who he is.
So important.
It is very important, very important.
So we'll be dealing with that during today's program. And before we go there, let's enjoy a song by Michael W. Smith, "Ancient Words."
Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient
That was Michael Smith with Ancient Words. Dear friends, this week we have a wonderful giveaway that will explain to you some of the most important doctrines in the Bible. And the title of this book is God's Truth Can Change Your Life by George Knight. Searching for life's meaning is universal. Everyone is searching for something meaningful, a purpose in life. Every culture in every era has searched for truth, truth that answers life's big questions, truth that provides significance for daily living, truth that is certain and beyond doubt. But truth has come on hard times. Have you heard somebody say it? You have your truth and I have mine. That's what we were talking about before. You cannot have two truths. The truth is just one. We need to know the truth. People agree that it is not wise to step out of a 10th-story window or eat certain types of mushrooms. You would all agree that no, that is not good, that is not right. In fact, science and technology are built upon the proposition that truth is out there waiting to be discovered. God's truth sets forth the idea that there is truth not only in the material world, but also in the social and spiritual realms. Truth that is foundational to personal and social health. Truth that transforms lives. Best-selling author George Knight explains the Bible's major themes in a manner that is both clear and brief. As such, it not only provides a concise introduction to the teachings of history's most influential and best-selling book, but it is also an invitation to further study it. We're talking about the book of the Bible. After all, there's nothing more important than understanding God's ultimate truth about the world and our lives. See, this book has 18 chapters. And for example, I'll just mention four of them. One of them is creation or evolution. Another one is what is God like? A glimpse of his law. Another one is what happens when we die? And another chapter is what is Jesus doing now? So there's a lot of interesting topics that you'll be very pleased to learn about from this book. And of course, the author bases this information on the Bible. So very, very good reading for you, dear friends. All you need to do is send us a text. And the text is The code is SA329. Text us that code to our number 0488-808-11. And for those of you who are new to Faith FM Drive Time, this code has no spaces between the numbers or letters. It's simply SA for South Australia, and then 329, no spaces, SA329. Simply text us that code. Again, our number is 0488-808-11. We'll be delighted to deliver this giveaway to you. And who knows, we'll get to have a chat if it's me who's delivering the book or maybe someone else. But yes, I would encourage you to grab your phones right now. Unless you're driving, just make sure you're parked safely and then text us the code SA329. Once again, the number is 0488-808-11.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back, dear friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A right across Australia with Pastor Ricardo. And my co-host today is Lindy Spearing. And the theme for this week is, aren't all religions essentially the same? Now, the big question for today is, what is the purpose of doctrinal teaching? Lindy, what is doctrinal teaching? Why is it so important? Is it enough to say, I love Jesus, and then forget about his teachings?
It's interesting. You talked about that illustration of you on your deathbed and your children coming to you. And is what you think and feel and believe and your character and who you are unimportant? Absolutely not. For your children who love you and your wife who loves you, those things are important. So when we love Jesus, we also want to know what he thinks, what he believes, what he can impart to us. You know, I believe that doctrine is sort of like a framework for understanding the Word of God. And it's also a guide to us so that we can live our lives within His will. Because isn't that the point of being a Christian? To live in God's will, to do what He wants us to do. And we know very clearly, Pastor Ricardo, you and I know that there are many different religions in the world, and even within our own faith, there are lots of people who have slightly different views, and perhaps that's because they're still on their journey, or they've perhaps wandered away from the Word and believing what they want to believe. I don't know about you, but I want to know what Jesus believes. I want to understand His set of understanding of the world, about the Godhead, the sort of work that Jesus is doing, the person that He is, how we are saved by grace through faith, and what is the Holy Spirit's work in this. I'm really passionate about that. You know, in our church, why do we have communion? And, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist Church believes very much the teachings in Daniel and Revelation.
Yes.
So these are exciting things to know and understand, particularly in the times that we're living in. And so for me, I want to know about these things that are called doctrines, or the basic beliefs and understanding that Jesus wants to teach us. Now, heavy, heavy doctrine can be a little bit boring, I suppose, or if you're not used to the language. But if it's taught to you step by step, once you give your heart to Jesus, it can take you along on the journey where you come to have a deeper understanding and a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ.
And Jesus did it masterfully, because He was able to teach deep doctrine in a very simple, easy to understand way.
He used stories, didn't He, and parables
to illustrate. Daily life, things that we're used to seeing everywhere. It was easy to understand and remember. I think we should pray to have the same capacity that Jesus had to teach in that way.
Yes, so that we can share our faith and hope with others. You know, if you look back in the Old Testament, one of the doctrines, if you like, that I really have been drawn to is in Exodus 15:26, and it says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So here's, it's a doctrine, if you like, it's a belief, but here is a revelation of who Christ is. We know that when Jesus died on the cross, it was that word sozo, salvation and healing. He wants to restore to us, as much as possible in a sinful world, this relationship with Him, and for us to be healed, because we've been unwell. So, "For I am the Lord who heals you." So there's that powerful doctrine. And then again, there's the commandments in Exodus 20. They are very clear statutes and outlines of how we should live, but they also reflect the character of God.
Yes.
And we know in the New Testament it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments."
New Testament as well. So not just Old Testament, but New Testament.
In the New Testament.
Still important.
It's so important, because it's not done away with, because Jesus came to fulfill the law. He came to be a reflection of what this whole situation is in the world today that you and I live in. We live in this world that has compromise right from the beginning, 6,000 years ago when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and we're living now, you and I today, with the consequences. And so as we look at also end times, it's another type of doctrines that are included in the end times that we need to know and understand so that we can be ready.
We cannot separate doctrines from the teacher of the doctrines. In fact, it was Jesus Himself who said it in the Great Commission, that we should teach them all the things that I have commanded you.
Yes.
So for Jesus, His teachings are important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're so important for us too. And I think, you know, we talked at the beginning about all the different religions. You know, we want to respect what other people believe, but I don't know about you, but I want to know and understand God's Word. I trust His Word. I don't always trust the news anymore. growing up, we used to watch, we always watched Channel 9, I don't know why, Channel 9 News.
Yes.
And I trusted Sir Eric Pearce as he read out the news, and at the end he said, and God bless you and you. And I grew up with that news, and I trusted what he said. If he said there was a car accident and somebody was hurt or something had happened, I trusted it. Now I'm not so trusting. Mm. It's not just because I'm older, but because we live in a society that can, you know, with AI do all sorts of things.
That's so true.
And also sometimes people are quite keen to sell news, and perhaps they want to exaggerate somewhat, I'm not sure. But so, and there's a lot of things, as you say, there are absolutes, and there's no other way we can deal with that. There are absolutes that we need to understand. So again, I say doctrine provides a framework for understanding God, Jesus Christ. And it's also, I think it's a way that we can grow and be discerning as Christians. We need to be discerning, and we need to understand more clearly who this God is that we worship and serve and how he's going to impact our daily lives. And so, yes, for you and I, we want to know a bit more about the things in the Bible, about the Godhead, as I said before, and salvation through grace. I think in some religions there is no salvation through grace. It's you work your way to heaven, and you need to behave in a certain manner. So, and I think also the more we understand doctrine, the more grounded we are in truth, and we can't be shaken. And we're coming to times where we are going to be tempted to be shaken from what we've believed, and perhaps because it'll be more convenient not to believe those things. And so we need to know what we believe. We also need to think about that we become more spiritually mature when we understand the doctrines of the Word of God.
Yes.
And we read them and understand them. And I look, I love, like you said before, about Jesus. He shared lots of stories, didn't he? And he used through parables. And I love the Beatitudes. I think in this time when Jesus was here, the Pharisees had quite a big influence, and the priests and Sadducees, they had quite a big influence on the Jews.
And they distorted the truth.
They distorted it because their traditions. They hung on to these traditions, and they seem to, over a period of years since Jesus, well, when Jesus came, he certainly stirred things up a lot, didn't he? They were looking forward to Jesus, and when Jesus came, he stirred things up a lot. But you think about, you know, when they came out, were free from Babylon, and the people were back able to worship in Jerusalem. They had just built up so many, I'd call them myths.
Yes.
Maybe even neighborhood myths or something, because they just were, and they had all these laws, hundreds of laws, do this, do that. They'd lost the meaning, the heart.
As they went to the other extreme. Before the Babylonian exile, they were mingling, imitating the pagan nations.
That's right.
They apparently they learned the lesson after 70 years in Babylon,
but
then they went to the other extreme. Now they didn't mingle at all with anybody. They kept the truth for themselves, and they distorted it, and they thought that they were the only ones who were going to be saved.
Very sad, isn't it?
They went to the other extreme completely.
Very sad, and religions today can do the same, and perhaps even in our church sometimes we could be, you know, portraying that at times, just because we hang dearly to our things, and we're very connected to them. So I think it's really important to understand that when Jesus came to teach the heart of who he is, and those doctrines through his parables and engaging stories, they were able to captivate the people and to draw them to him. And as I said, I love the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, we know the Pharisees weren't looking for the poor in spirit. They wanted those who'd come up through the Jewish schools and learnt the Torah, and they were priests, and they had a community that they were proud of, and so the poor in spirit weren't high on their agenda. And Jesus turns it upside down.
The reality back then. If you were called to be a disciple by these Pharisees, you had to be able to memorize the first five books of the Bible.
That's right.
And do all sorts of things. But I just imagine that disciples, when Jesus called them, they had none of those qualifications, no. And they were just called by a master to be a disciple. What a privilege.
Fishermen. Mm-hmm. Fishermen. Then to fish for men rather than fish.
Yeah.
But, yes, it's very interesting how doctrines is all through the Word, all through the stories, and all through the... I like Matthew 5:17. I'll just read that, Matthew 5:17. Jesus makes this very clear. He says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets," because he was speaking in contrast to the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
"I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill," because that's who he is. And if he sometimes said to them, you know, "Don't do as the Pharisees do, but do as they say," because obviously a lot of the things they were saying were still important and should be done, but don't do as they do. And so he's saying, didn't come to destroy it, I've come to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the fulfillment of it all. He represents the doctrines. He is who he is. He's the great I am. And so to me, the doctrines are just a part of who Jesus is. I remember the book of Revelation. You can read through that and you think, oh, that's fairly intense. But it's actually revealing more about who Jesus is and what his work is and what he's come to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Laodicea. He wants to put us through the refiner's fire. That's going to be tough. We're probably all going through it already for some of us.
Mm.
The refiner's fire, so we come out as gold.
Tested,
you know,
yes.
Tested and ready and to meet Jesus. Because let's be frank and honest, we take our character to heaven. That's what we take, nothing else. So, and another doctrine is about the Holy Spirit. What an amazing Holy Spirit. He is the one, he is the gift from God, and he is the one who changes us and transforms us. And so if we're Christians and we don't understand some of these doctrines, how are we ever going to grow and mature in our walk and our faith?
Yeah, that's a very important doctrine. Sadly, quite widely misunderstood in terms of who's the boss. I hear some denominations treat the Holy Spirit as if he was our servant, and they tell the Holy Spirit what to do rather than us being told what to do.
Yes, yes. I think I'd be a bit nervous to do that, Pastor Ricardo. I would like the Holy Spirit to tell me. I don't think I'd be wanting to boss him around.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm a woman and I used to be redhead. So yes, it's just so important. So sometimes, you know, new believers need clear explanations of who God is. And this is, again, with the revelation of Jesus, he shows us, he says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And so his death and resurrection. So as we're becoming new Christians and walking in our path with the Lord, there are some things that you and I need to understand so that we can grow and be stronger. And if we don't have these basic understandings, we can become very vulnerable to misconceptions or false teachings. And every church has had the challenge of false teachings coming into it, based on what they believe. So if there are false teachings or heresies that threaten our spiritual health, we need to be speaking the truth, the doctrines that are true. And some churches will have, you know, our churches will have a little sort of series, won't we, at sometimes. And
yes.
I've done a series on prayer and the Holy
Makes
Spirit.
Sense.
And there's that teaching, you know. I did a series recently at a women's retreat and we started out, you know, why do we pray and what can hinder our prayers? And then we talked about putting on the full armor of God. All of these teachings and beliefs and doctrines, if you like, help us to be the people God's created us to be.
And it's important to be reminded of where we get the truth from, that what's the source of truth. Jesus himself said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth."
Yes.
The Bible is where we find the truth, not our emotions or feelings or traditions,
yes.
But the Bible.
Yes, exactly. And so we need to know our Bibles. And if anyone's listening and they don't read their Bible regularly, may I encourage you to get your Bible out and read just a chapter every morning.
Very interesting. Let's come to a break and enjoy for a few minutes Sarah Groves' song called Softly and tenderly, because that's how God treats us. That Jesus is softly and tenderly giving to us every day. That was Sarah Groves, very beautiful lyrics and song as well. Dear friends, once again, our giveaway for this week is the book, God's Truth Can Change Your Life. And isn't that true? His teachings, His doctrines are there for us to be saved because He loves us. He wants us to be happy. And He's longing for an eternal life with us because He loves us that much. And so God's Truth Can Change Your Life by George Knight can introduce you and explain some of the most important doctrines in the Bible that are there for our salvation as well. Searching for life's meaning is universal. Every culture in every era has searched for truth. Truth that answers life's big questions, truth that provides significance for daily living, truth that is certain and beyond doubt. Dear friends, when you find that truth, and I'm saying that truth in the Bible, you'll know for sure that there's nothing else. That is the Word of God. That's how He will convince you that this is the truth. So I encourage you to search for the truth, and God will not disappoint you. Truth has come on hard times. We all know, we've all heard people say, well, you have your truth, I have mine. But really, truth is only one. As we said before, 2 + 2 = 4. There's only one truth. And God will help us find the truth if we are willing to find it and accept it as well. People agree that it is not wise to step out of a 10th-story window or eat certain types of mushrooms, as we were saying before. We all agree, you know. Same with truth. The truth is out there. We need to discover it. We need to find it. God's truth sets forth the idea that there is truth not only in the material world, but also in the social and spiritual realms. Truth that is foundational to personal and social health. Truth that transforms lives. That's the reason why God is sharing with us his teachings to transform our lives. Best-selling author George Knight explains the Bible's major themes in a manner that is both clear and brief. As such, it not only provides a concise introduction to the teachings of history's most influential and best-selling book, the Bible, but it is also an invitation to further study. Some of the chapters I was sharing before, there's 18 chapters. Some of them are creation or evolution. What is God like? A glimpse of his law. What happens when we die? Or what is Jesus doing now? Would you like to know why he's taking so long? Is he doing nothing? What is he doing right now? Well, take a look at this book. And it is free. It is yours. Simply text us the code SA329. SA for South Australia. SA329 to our number 0488 808 11. Save it on your phones, 0488 808 11, and as soon as you have a time, text us the code SA329.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A. This is Pastor Ricardo, your host for today, and I am joined by Lindy Sperring as my co-host here in the Faith FM studio. This week, we are exploring the theme, aren't all religions essentially the same? Dear friends, we've discovered that no, they're not the same. And today's big question is, what is the purpose of doctrinal teaching? What a topic, what an important topic. Lindy, how can you maybe summarize in a few minutes what we've been discussing?
Yes, well, I probably should just acknowledge Joe and Damien and Joshua who've interacted with us this evening, ordering a book.
Very good.
And Joe saying thank you. You know, that book that you've advertised, and George Knight is a wonderful author, God's Truth Can Change Your Life, that is just so important. We're living in times where people are fearful and frightened and frustrated, disillusioned, angry, lost. They feel that life has no meaning. And yet the Bible tells us the truth. And the truth is our lives do have amazing meaning. So if you look in John 1:1-14, that's in John 1:1-14. We won't read it all, but this talks about the divine nature of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made.
That's very
in
clear.
Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And it goes on to talk about he was the true light that became flesh, this eternal God, this creator God, this pre-existent God became flesh, became Jesus. And when we can understand that and grasp that, we can put aside all of those human responses and emotions that drag us down because we know the truth. And I go back to what Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So here's Jesus himself, the creator God, if you like, Jesus who says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
Going right back to the earth history to explain everything.
Back to the scriptures.
Right back to the scriptures. The truth. Uses the scriptures himself to explain to the people who he is. And then John hits us with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, this is powerful truths that are in the Bible that transform lives if we respond to his love.
Because a lot of people say today, Christians are saying today, that they are no longer reading what the Bible says because now they are led by the Spirit. But it doesn't make sense to me that if the Spirit is the one who inspired the biblical writers, how can the Spirit come now and say something different?
And he doesn't. Not the true Spirit. Mm-hmm. He goes by the Word of God. He wants. It's just so clear. And how to explain it? But we need to know God's Word. We need to read God's Word. We need to understand it, to study it. It doesn't matter what part of your journey you are on your Christian walk with the Lord. And I know there are so many people out in the world today who poo-hoo Christianity, but they don't have the answers for the troubles that they're facing. And many of them become discouraged and decide that life isn't worth living. Mm-hmm. It is worth living. It is worth living when you understand the doctrines and the truths and the Word of God.
And we as Christians don't claim to have all the answers, but we are just saying that in the Bible we have all the truth, the information that we need to be saved.
We do. We do, but we need to know our Bibles. And I would like to ask a question of our listeners. Are you reading your Bible? Do you read your Bible regularly and study it? Or are you just offering up a little prayer here and there?
Yes.
Because if you are not doing that, your prayer life, your spiritual life will be weak, and you want it to be strong. You want it to be powerful. You want to be making a difference in your own life.
You mentioned that. Because we cannot rely on being spoon-fed by a preacher once a week.
No.
We need to search the Scriptures for ourselves.
Like the Bereans, hey? Mm-hmm. Searching the Scriptures and trying to understand it. So, you know, God's Word is eternal. God's Word is powerful. We need to, if we're teaching other people, we need to show them God's love. I think very often we want to slap people into line and perhaps just give them all, here's all the rules, just follow them.
But we softly need to, and tenderly, as the song was.
Softly and tenderly. That's right. So grace should motivate our obedience. Love should motivate. Let's not do it out of guilt. Let's do it out of love.
That's it.
Let's do it out of love. And so as our spiritual understanding grows, we become a stronger person in the Lord. And we need to be anchored firmly in the Bible rather than just traditions. And it's good to have questions. We are allowed to ask questions and to learn. And it's also good to look up different resources or Bible study guides because they can help us. And probably one of the most important things is we need to pray. We need to pray. The Bible is spiritually discerned. It's a supernatural book. I didn't understand this growing up as a Christian in the church. I now understand. It's a supernatural book, and we need to ask God to give us the Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth.
Yes.
We should always ask him to lead us into truth and help us to discern the Word when we open his Word. It's just so important. So, again, we're answering that question. Is doctrine important? It's crucial. If we don't understand the doctrines in the Bible, then we can't really understand who this God that we want to serve is. So, Pastor Ricardo, I'm going to ask you a question. When you are giving Bible studies and you are teaching people the doctrines, do you sometimes find they get stuck in one point, and they just can't seem to move forward from that?
Sometimes. Sometimes out of inconvenience, they need to think about what they've just heard. And in those cases, it's best to leave it at that, continue to pray, maybe revisit the topic, because we're not the same. We have different types of characters.
Yes.
We don't react the same. Some people need a longer time than others to accept certain truths. But the bottom line is that it is a personal decision.
That's right. We don't want to push it onto people. They need to do it because they want to. Just noticing we've had another person join us there. James.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. So, with when we're teaching people about the doctrines, we need to be very gracious about it and give them time to understand it.
God gives us time.
God gives us time, and we need to provide not just sometimes one scripture, but three or four scriptures. The Word is like a tapestry. The word is like a tapestry, mm-hmm. and as we start to understand it, it becomes clearer. The picture is clearer and clearer of who this God is. And that's what the word is to do, to reveal God to us.
Yes.
Emmanuel, God is with us.
That's
so
really
the
good.
Doctrines are important, Pastor Ricardo, and may God bless all of our listeners. And I'd love to pray now for
Thank
you all.
You.
Father God, you are an awesome and amazing God. You are filled with grace and mercy. You love each one of us so much. And what you desire most of all is an intimate and personal relationship with each and every one of us, Lord.
Amen.
May we be willing. And if we're holding back a bit, please make us willing so that we can come into this personal relationship that changes our lives and makes us lights in the community,
yes,
to bring encouragement and hope to others. So bless each of our listeners, Lord, and thank you for them joining us this evening on Faith FM. And we pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. This was Ricardo and Lindy coming to you live from Adelaide, South Australia. Please join us tomorrow for another Drive Time BQ&A show as we look at the biblical way for choosing a church to attend to. Until then, remember that Psalm 86, verse 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth." May God bless you all.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.